Well, it's Thursday evening, and it's Social Geek Radio time, and we are going to have a lot of fun tonight, I can tell, because we were having a great conversation before we went live. Tonight, AK Stout is traveling, and I think, if I check my Foursquare post from where AK is, I think she's in Boston. She's doing some training, and her trainees or attendees invited her to dinner, and I told her, go, have fun. So Jen McDonald, calling in from Connecticut, Engage One-to-One, community manager there, is joining us. Hi, Jen.
Hi, how is everybody today?
Well, I'm great, and I see we have a lot of guests in the chat ready to probably post some questions for us, but thank you for stepping in, and you and I will geek it out at the end, and I know AK will be very pleased with what we do.
Yes, I'm glad you asked me. I'm excited to geek it out and excited to talk to Michelle about some great strategies for businesses maximizing with social media.
So, speaking of Michelle, we've got Michelle Price, a.k.a. Prosperity Gal, on the line. She's just finishing up, or actually she stepped away from a bloggers meeting. So I really appreciate your time, Michelle, and that you're able to join us. And if we hear Cafe Express announce something, we'll just say we'll take two.
Yeah, you never hear them call out, did anybody order Shiner Bock? I mean, everybody would go to the counter.
Yeah.
Well, so thank you for having me tonight.
Absolutely. I was telling Jen really quick before you had come on how you and I met, because I think it's always fun to have guests on that I know via social media and I've actually met in real life. And I don't know if you remember this, but I was tweeting, and you and I had been following each other on Twitter, and we hadn't really talked or really had a conversation via Twitter, but I had tweeted something one day, and I had forgotten to put the hyperlink on it. And you responded very kindly to say, hey, Deb, you forgot to hyperlink it. And you may have sent it a direct message. And it's like, oh, wow, good catch. Thanks so much. Later that night, I go to the Houston in-network meeting. And what, there's close to, like, I know sometimes there's 300 people. There's probably close to 100 people there that night. And I see you. And I'm thinking, God, that woman looks familiar, but I know I've never met her. And you and I meet. And you say you're Michelle Price, and it was like, bingo, Prosperity Gal. That was just the weirdest, to me, the weirdest meeting ever, to have been tweeting with you, then meet you in real life, and we immediately connected.
Well, you know, it's always fun to get to meet people in person, and I had to go out of my way to find ways that I can connect with people, especially ones that I've talked to for a really long time, that we, like, probably live states away. And so whenever I'm going to travel, I'll go, who's in this city? And everyone's so wonderful. They're like, I am. I'm like, great. I'm going to be there from this date to this date. Let's have a tweet up.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You used to go, you know, look at your email or look at LinkedIn or, you know, something like that to say, okay, yeah, I'm traveling. But today, you're right. Now you tweet it. Hey, I'm going to be in that city. Where's the best place to eat? How about if we meet for coffee? And you really start to get to meet people in IRL. It's exciting.
Now, you want to hear a really interesting story that's a social media meeting and then transpires into something way more than that?
Sure.
I had been tweeting with someone for over a year. We were both in internet marketing groups together, and it was to the point where we were giving each other advice. So we're to that level where the trust level is really, really high. And I'm supposed to be going to a conference out in Las Vegas. Now, all this time, I've known him as living in California. He didn't tell me he had moved the whole family to Las Vegas. And so I did that typical thing I do. I'm going to be in Las Vegas in the next couple of days. Who's all there? And he pops up and goes, why are you coming to Las Vegas? And I'm like, well, nice to talk to you too. And I told him why I was coming, and he said, great, don't book a hotel. I said, why? And he said, because you're going to come stay with Rachel and me and the kids. And I'm like, you're in California. He's like, no, we've been in Las Vegas for 3 months now. I'm like, really? Awesome. Like,
that's
go
funny.
Stay with him for a whole week. I end up having two new nephews and a niece. Now, I raised a boy. I didn't have any girls around. And to be honest with you, even though I am a girl, I haven't been real fond of most of my friends' girls. They were always too whiny and yin, 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 yin. And so I didn't think I liked girls until I got to spend a week with this little one who was about 3 and a half. I fell in love with girls. A really good thing, because my son and daughter-in-law were expecting a girl the next year.
Oh,
so there's all
kinds
of things that can come out of meeting people through social media.
I agree. I love it. And, well, Jen, you and I knew each other for a long time via social media before we actually got to meet in person, which was just, what, at Frame Camp last September, wasn't it? Oops, did I lose Jen? I think she muted
her. I'm here.
Her.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I hit mute. I didn't want to bring any background noise. I was just saying, yeah, we've been talking online for over 2 years, and then Frame Camp was just last year, so we actually met up for the first time. But talk about the power of relationships, because I wouldn't have my job at Engage now if I hadn't built a relationship with you, which is how I met Jack Monson. And meeting Jack Monson, he works at Engage. And so, you know, just there's power in building relationships.
There certainly is, about connections. So, Michelle, you said you just stepped out of a blogger's meeting. So what is a blogger's meeting? What does that mean?
Well, it's the Houston Bloggers Group, and there's a group of, I'd say it's 99.9% women in Houston who are all different kinds of bloggers. Some of them are mom bloggers, some of them are coupon bloggers, some of us, like myself, have a radio show and are more marketing business bloggers. There's one in there who's really got a very unique blog. Hers is called Math 4, and she teaches people how to not think of math as a four-letter word. And so we share, you know, what we're doing with each other and things that we're learning. If someone goes to you know, like when I went to Blog World to speak, I brought back some things I learned and shared with the group. Some of the women just came back from Blisson, so they're sharing with the group what they've learned. And we just give ourselves an opportunity to kind of keep up-leveling our skills. And it's nice to have a network of people that you can just pick up the phone and go, okay, I've been screwing with this for 30 minutes now. Have you figured this out?
That's great. So is it an official committee, or is it just a group of you that have decided to get together? So my other question will be then to follow up is, can I join?
Sure. You're welcome.
I get Monday.
I don't know why I said that. It's the second Thursday every month at Cafe Express in Uptown Park.
I might have to change Social Geek Radio time, or just, you know, sit outside with you and we take it. Okay, well, I will get with you later to find out, you know, make sure that's okay and jot down the address and everything. But cool. Jen, I think you need to fly into Houston and go to this bloggers meeting too.
Yeah, we had those in Seattle. I wasn't a part of it, but all my girlfriends who were big bloggers, I couldn't really compete with them. But the ones that were really big bloggers, they met all the time. Similar event, similar situation right in Seattle.
So it makes me think, you know, that there are so many different social network and in real life network groups. And I know, Michelle, you belong to several of them. There's the Houston group that you and I had met in. And I know that there's, you know, like BNI, and now you're saying there's a bloggers group, and then there's Chamber network meetings. And I know I'm getting off target a little bit and not talking just social media, but what, and Jen, this goes for you too, what advice do you have for the audience as far as what network group you should belong to? Because I bet you could just go to network groups or do them online 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Well, that really depends on what their business objectives are, and that's where I see a lot of people take their focus off of the road when they're driving. Is they tend to get into that whole mode of, well, I need to go lots of places and make lots of contacts. And I'm like, no, you don't. You need to figure out where is going to be the group of people that's going to help keep moving you forward with whatever your business objectives are. That's where you need to be networking. If you're wanting to connect with people on social media, check out the Social Media Club. Social Media Club is an international organization that has clubs in almost every city that you could possibly think of. And if they don't have one, why don't you start one?
Very good advice.
Yeah, so that was going to be my suggestion, Social Media Club. We had an amazing branch in Seattle. It was definitely an event worth $15, and they flew in, like, really key people all across the country. Actually, we had people all across the world that were social media experts come in and talk to us. But my other you know, Michelle hit on the business aspect, but for me, you know, what I've done is just growing my career, my portfolio, you know, as a social media professional. It's just, I did a lot of groups, LinkedIn groups in Seattle. We have like a LinkedIn Seattle group, LinkedIn Young Professional Seattle group. A lot of LinkedIn groups are really good, not only for the discussions, but if they're a local chapter, they also meet somewhere. And if they don't, you should suggest that you guys get together if you're all in, you know, a same area, because a lot of venues will be open to you using their space, because you're going to be, it'll be like a tweet up. So you're going to be tweeting about it. So it's free publicity for them, and it's a free space for you guys to network.
Very good. Good points. So, Michelle, I know when you and I had talked and we were talking about the show and what could we have a conversation about, and we decided we could talk about anything and everything for a couple of hours, but we needed to narrow the scope. One of the things you had said to me that you believe that there are a lot of missed opportunities to leverage social media in business. How so?
Well, I can give a really good example of something that's happening here in Houston. Microsoft's Convergence 2012, which is a huge conference. People are coming in from all over the world here, and I'm watching exhibitors misuse the social media tools to try and drive traffic to their booths. And the other thing that I'm finding really interesting as I'm watching is I'm noticing that we're going to be, so quick announcement, we're the media who's going to be doing a live radio show broadcast there. So Breakthrough Business Strategies Radio is going to come live from Convergence on Monday at the George R. Brown Convention Center. And I was really surprised how many people weren't media prepared or ready. So as I started reaching out to people that I thought would be really great guests on the show, it's almost like no one had ever asked them to do this before. Now, I'm not saying everybody was, because there were a few people who were really on the ball. Christopher Avery, who's a professional speaker, which probably goes to the fact that he is so prepared. I mean, he travels internationally doing this, and it's so wonderful because he was the only person that not only recognized that he was going to get free publicity and exposure and media exposure on the radio show, and on the blog, he actually emailed back after we exchanged all the data that needed to be exchanged to make it work, you know, to ink the spot, and said, "What can I do for you?" And I was like, wow. Now, that is someone who's really a go-giver and understands what it means to be in the social media space. So he was already asking how he could help promote anything that I needed help with, and I hadn't even had him on the show yet. Whereas I was still struggling with people who have directors of marketing and PR, and they weren't even able to answer a simple media request email. Now, the business coach in me is about to come out really strongly here. What is the matter with you people? We're not talking about solopreneurs now. We're talking about mid-sized businesses. That's almost like, I'm like, really? This is everybody's dream, to have media contact them and say, we want to spotlight you on our radio show. You should be doing backflips to make it easier for the media person. So this is where small businesses, franchise owners, solopreneurs can really kick grit on their competition if they make themselves media prepared, and it's really not that hard. It's just a matter of being organized and putting all your stuff in one place. So when someone says they want to do something with you, you've got it at your fingertips.
Yeah, and so I'm surprised, but then again, I'm not. We just, and we meaning Jen and I, just went to the International Franchise Association conference a few weeks ago or a month ago or whatever in Orlando, and there was a PR firm offering to do videos in their booth, no strings attached. They were just doing some videos. They would be promoting the videos and interviewing different franchise industry professionals about their attendance at IFA and what they were learning. And then you really have your 30-second commercial. You can give your piece on yourself. When I got the postcard from them, from E.H. Anderson invited me, I picked up the phone right away and said, sign me up. you know, this is perfect. What a wonderful opportunity. When I got at IFA, when I arrived, they really did not get the response that they thought they would. People thought there were strings attached to it, or for whatever reason. Of course, then the attendees get to IFA, and they went, oh, I want to do that. Oh, I want to do that. And it was a little difficult for the PR firm then to schedule everybody, but they did it. They made it work. And I, too, I just wanted to smack folks and say, wait a minute, you got that same postcard I did, and you didn't follow up on it? Why? What a missed opportunity. I took advantage of it. I had that video up on my Facebook page and my blog, you know, as soon as they gave me the link, and it was live. It's like, this is really cool. They had the right keywords and meta tags and everything attached to it. I had nothing to do but just upload.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
It's really amazing to watch how people are almost dumbfounded. It's like, you're in business. You really shouldn't be caught off guard on this. It's our responsibility as businesses to stay up with what is going on, no matter where it is in our communication strategy. And it amazes me. So I wanted people to be prepared, and I have just totally been writing post after post this week. Here are the things that you need to do before a conference if you're going to use social media. Here are the things that you need to do to be media prepared, so when someone says, we want to interview you, you can take advantage of it. And I'm like going, whoa.
Michelle, I like the point that you said when you were talking about you were going to have a live radio show at the conference and you were inviting people. And TechCrunch did that at South by Southwest this week, or this past week, and I couldn't go, but to have, and they actually did live video, I'm not sure if you will or if it will just be audio, but they had live video, they interviewed, you know, unlike, I'm sure TechCrunch, you can't, you know, everybody get in there, but they interviewed, you know, key people at the conference, discussing what was happening, what was hot, what was not, and on video and live, and a hashtag to follow. Like, I thought that was pure, you know, pure media and pure brilliance. I mean, it really got their name out there. It got people engaged, especially the people that couldn't go. They're talking about social media. They're repurposing your information. They're captivating the audience because they can see you visually. It's intriguing. I agree with that. I think maybe that's the next big thing for conferences is live video stream.
Well, and it's one of the things that I've been suggesting to conferences for 2 years now, and it's interesting to watch how slow everyone is on the uptake, but it's like, they finally figured out hashtags, and now all of a sudden they're seeing this stream of conversation going on, and people are going, well, what do I do with it? And so it's a great opportunity for people to be prepared to understand, okay, how is it going to benefit you? If you're an exhibitor there, how are you actually adding value in that stream instead of telling people to come see you at their booth? I mean, that is just such a lazy marketing strategy. Why aren't you talking about whatever solutions that you're offering in a way that if I read that and I'm going, oh, wow, I didn't know there was an answer to this. You know, so be tweeting answers to questions of things that you solve for your clients. And then what happens is people will actually tweet you and say, where are you going to be? That is them giving you permission for you to say, we're going to be at booth so-and-so. Come visit us.
Right.
And then what happens is people are already seeing that you're in a conversation. You're not just talking at them. You're in a conversation. So now you've got a lot more exposure for your booth in a way that's more amiable, that's more inviting, that makes me actually want to seek you out because you're not going to pounce on me like I'm fresh meat and you're a hungry lion.
Well, and social technology today has that whole pay it forward kind of attitude. And Michelle, you ooze this. It's like, what can I do for you? Not what do you need from me? You know, what can I do for you? What can I do to help you improve your business? What tips and breakthroughs can I help you with? You do that. You do that. I see that in your tweets. I see that in your Facebook post and in your blog. So you do that naturally. And I think for those sales individuals that are still stuck in that traditional type of sales and marketing, it's all into, you know, just vomit information to their customer or their prospect and say, here's what you need to do and this is why you need to buy us. They don't understand that whole give and take kind of situation. So I think the whole social media scene for them is much more difficult. It's not part of their culture.
It kind of amazes me, though, because they've learned as far as in sales process that you don't walk in and close a sale in the first hello. You know, I love how Gary Vaynerchuk puts it to people. He's like, don't be the dude who's trying to make it to home base before you've even taken her out on a date. And what happens is that analogy really takes people back to the whole human element and helps them to go, oh, yeah, we needed to be reminded that. So how can we be engaging with people? Just use, even if you only use the Twitter hashtag to be listening to what people are talking about, then you could just be engaging them in a conversation. So if a lot of people are talking about they're excited to go and you're seeing that they're individuals or companies, why aren't you responding back to them in the stream going, what two things are you looking forward, what two sessions are you looking forward to going to? Or what's going to be the highlight for you at Convergence? Or if you're going to, what's the one thing you want to walk away from Convergence having learned for your company? How hard is that?
Well, for some it's very hard. That's why they need people like you to point that out. I had a question on my lips, and then I started looking at the chat and seeing all of our Social Geek Radio listeners are in, looking to see if there's any questions in the chat. I don't see anything yet. One of the things, Michelle, that you had said too, you know, we were talking about the traditional and non-traditional business times and untraditional solutions that business owners, small business or large business owners aren't aware of. So what makes today an untraditional business time other than social media?
Well, we've talked about it for a while, but one of the things that we in our marketing community tends to forget is the general public is not part of that conversation. And so what seems like old news to us is not old news to them. I'm still amazed, and I get humbly reminded every day how many people don't realize what are the benefits of having a strategic communication plan in place. Before, it was pretty simple. You called up the newspaper, you put in a display ad, you called up the radio station, they created your commercial for you. If you were one of those businesses that had the budget to do TV, they created it all for you. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. We are having to wear more hats, and we're having to learn, okay, what is our purpose in our business, and how are we going to communicate that? You know, if you're a solopreneur or a franchise business, you probably don't have the budget to have a director of marketing unless you have two or three or four franchises or stores or locations. And so understanding that your consumers are not just in another place or another type of location for you to connect with them, they're demanding it. They're not doing business with people who aren't going to do things, who aren't going to reach out to them in the way they want to reach out to. And so where are you leaving a lot of really great customers, customer loyalty, or acquiring new customers from not making sure that you're in those spaces and just asking them, what do you want? I mean, let's say you're a Subway shop. When customers are coming in at lunchtime every day, how hard is it to ask them, every time they're ordering a sandwich, who here uses Foursquare? Keep a little chalkboard or a whiteboard and do tick marks. If you served 200 sandwiches that day and 100 and something people told you they had Foursquare, even if 50 of them told you they had Foursquare, why aren't you using it? Why aren't you rewarding those customers to encourage them to make sure that they always think of you for lunch instead of the other 15 places they can go for lunch? It's sitting there ready and waiting for you to activate it, but you have to have the initiative to learn it, to find someone to help you put together a strategy, to teach you how to execute on it, and then you can train your team to do it. It's just like anything else in business, except it's not what we're used to, which is why it feels so untraditional.
Jen, before I jump in here, do you have a question for Michelle, because I have a bazillion.
I'm just kind of
not really blown away, but she's just really driving home some important points. So I'm just kind of taking it all in, I guess. I think it's great to, you know, what I love about Michelle is that she addresses social media from the business perspective and really defining those goals. A lot of people just say you need to do this to increase brand awareness, get your name out there, and do it because everybody else is doing it. But they don't give you reason. They don't tie it to dollars. And, you know, that's our challenge right now. Not really a challenge, but how we can talk about that at Engage One-to-One to our clients, how we can drive that home.
Mm-hmm.
Someone like me thinks of it in a different mindset than a business owner. So I think Michelle is amazing at doing that.
Well, Michelle, I do have a text message here, which is a question from a listener that says and I see it in the chat too, that someone says they love your idea about a strategic communication plan. And then the text message I got was, what would be the top three things you would put in that strategic communication plan?
You know, this is where it gets kind of interesting to answer these questions, because what happens is, most people want to know that there is some kind of cookie-cutter thing that they can overlay their business, and you can't when it comes to communication. Because even, let's say, even if you're a franchise business and you have all of these processes and procedures that have been given to you so that you can be very productive as well as profitable, communication changes from one location to the other because your demographics change. How you talk to the customer who has a Subway shop over here behind the Galleria area is going to be totally different than how you talk to the one up in Kingwood. It's important. What I'm trying to get to is I can't say here are the top mm-hmm. three things you have to have, because if you're working with someone or if you're looking to hire someone to help you with that, it's probably easier for me to say if someone comes in and says, well, we're going to get you set up on Facebook, we're going to get you set up on Twitter, we're going to get you a blog going, and then I'm going to show you how to do all this, and now you'll be able to do social media. Please run as fast as you rockin' can, because what's happened is you've just latched on to someone who knows nothing about business, who knows nothing about communication, who knows nothing about marketing. They took some workshops, and they know how to set up profiles.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to help you. And that's why some people who've done that have said, well, I tried social media and didn't get me any results. And I go, really? And I'll start asking them questions, and they go, well, nobody ever asked me that before. And I said, that's because you didn't talk to a professional. You tried to go the inexpensive route, and now it's costing you money. You thought you could deal with an intern, and you thought you could deal with someone who was younger. Where everybody gets this thing about, well, let's talk to the young. They know social media. Are you kidding? Do you know how many young people come up to me when I'm leading a social media club meeting, and they're going, we really want to learn from you. And I'm like going, and everybody thinks you guys are in the know. So that's the difference between working with someone who's actually run businesses, who actually has marketing experience, and now can take that experience and step into the space of social media and go, okay, what are the needs for your store? What's the demographics going around here? Do we know whether or not any of the people who are in this area, what's their age? What's their education? Are we connected is there a school that's really close to us that we might be able to do some partnership things with? It's just there's so many questions that go into how you put together a really effective communication strategy. There's no silver bullet. Quit looking for silver bullets. And ask yourself, what do I want to achieve this year? If I want 15% more in my bottom dollar sales, okay, great. What did my sales look like last year? Where did they come from? What kind of advertising or communication did I use last year? What went up? What went down? Have that all together when you're talking to someone and you want to bring them in and try to utilize social media so when they can sit down with you, look at it and go, well, did you see this right here, here, and here? I'm noticing that what we might want to think about, and it gives them an opportunity to start helping you understand what does a vision look like for what you want to accomplish. Then once you have that clear, then you're able to put together a strategy that will support the vision of what you want to accomplish. Then you can create an action plan. Then you can put together an execution plan. Then you can train people to actually make it happen. But if you go to execution first, let's put up a Facebook page. Let's set up a Twitter profile. Let's just get a lot of people to like us, get lots of people to talk about us. It's going to make people come to the store. You're going to fail.
You know, something happened today, and I know, I bet this has happened to you, both you ladies, before too. I see a post from someone I know who, I didn't know that they had marketing experience in their past, but that's great. Okay, they probably did. I take that for face value. And a communications expert, okay, I'll take that as well, but then tells me that they're going to start a new business because they're going to be putting together these marketing and communication plans for people. They want to start a business to do this. And it'll include blogging and Facebook posts and tweets and LinkedIn and yada, 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 yada. This particular individual doesn't have a presence on any of those platforms.
Oh, thank you for saying that out loud.
Oh, my God. And it is killing me. It's killing me because I know this person very well. And my message to them really wants to go, really? What? Who the hell made you the expert to do it? Excuse me, I said that out loud. Who made you the expert? I mean, it just blows my mind that people that – it just – I don't get it.
Those are the kind of questions, though, that business owners need to know. If you're wanting to find someone who's going to help you with this, then you need to be vetting them. And the best way to vet them is to go see what kind of presence do they have. What are their conversations like? What does their followers think of them? Who's leaving recommendations for them in LinkedIn? Is their profile optimized? When you go to it, does it tell you enough about them that you feel like you kind of know them already? If it does, they've done it well.
Right. Yeah.
Michelle, I'm really glad that you highlighted on that point about, you know, you think that you want to hire somebody young because they know it and they're going to be cheap, but you know, you need somebody who's been in marketing a while to understand your business goals and how to deliver. And I think that's a great point. I hope there's a lot of people on the show tonight because I hear that so many times. And, you know, that's why it's hard for those of us who are professionals in the space and have been doing it for a while and using it to get business goals and having people out there saying stuff like that, but they do start with the execution plan instead. And I just think that's I really wish we could broadcast that on, you know, live news tonight.
Live, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News.
Yeah, let's call up Diane Sawyer.
Michelle probably knows her. Yeah, Michelle probably knows her. So, Michelle, I told you earlier, Jen, Michelle knows everybody. I did.
You guys are funny.
But poor business owners, I mean, these poor new or, you know, existing business owners who don't know to ask these questions. And that's the one thing, you know, Michelle, I repeat your message all the time. I'm always telling everybody, please do your research. Don't just believe that I can do this for you. Do your due diligence. If you're going to buy a franchise, you're going to do your due diligence. If you're going to buy a business, a storefront, you're going to do your due diligence. Do the same thing for any outsourced person that you're going to hire, whether it's that blogger or someone that is going to do SEO for your website. It just boggles my mind that I'll get
they
a
They won't hire an attorney or an accountant without doing that, so why would they hire someone to do their marketing without doing that?
Absolutely. You know,
it's true. You don't hire a plumber without checking out his background and his testimonials on his site and stuff. That's why it blows my mind that people don't check the way they do check for everything else they incorporate in their business.
Yeah.
They just say, okay. I think it's because
I'm live on the radio. Sorry, I had someone walk up and talk to me.
Oh. Actually, they want directions. She says, no. You can put them on the air, too. We could actually ask them direct questions. What do you know about social media? So, I could get on that soapbox and just vent, but we shouldn't do that.
Well, you know, one of the things I think is so important, though, it's so easy for us to kind of get into that mode where we vent because it's so familiar to us. But what I always try to encourage people to remember is what might be familiar to you is not familiar to your prospective client.
Right.
It's our responsibility to be educating people. It's our responsibility to be sharing with them, well, these are the questions I'd be asking if I was looking for this. And while you're sharing those questions, then you can turn around and say, now here's my answer to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, and that's a very good point. We do that in franchising, and my husband has his he has a very local home business. It's a home inspection business, and we were posting on his Facebook page and on his website just those basic questions. This is what you should ask any home inspector. Maybe you're not going to hire me, meaning my husband. You might hire someone else, but these are the things that you should be asking and finding out. And if you are good, then that prospect will come right back to you. Same thing in franchising. If you're asking the right questions and you're finding out the answers that you like, then you're going to end up buying that franchise or that store or hiring that consultant. So I agree with you. I think I need to write some more blog posts to say, are you going to hire that social media expert or that communications or marketing consultant? Here are the things you should be looking for or asking.
You want to hear something funny?
What's that?
You said your husband's a real estate inspector?
He's a home, a commercial and private home inspector.
I was the third woman in the state of Texas to be a licensed real estate inspector. Remember when we talked about I've been in male-oriented industries toe-to-toe with them? That was one of them.
Wow.
There's less than 1% of inspectors in Texas that are women.
That's true. And he does work with a female home inspector. And I asked him, I've met her a couple times, and said, God, that must be really tough for her to get jobs. And because her business name is very generic, it's not, you know, her name, whatever it might be, Lisa Gerber or whatever, they don't know that it's a female inspector until they call
Sounds
and
like
they do their due diligence.
Help.
Yeah, well, but she does really well. She does well because she's made it generic until they dig deeper, and then they've already built that relationship with her. They don't care she's a female, and she's very good at what she does.
There's a way to actually turn that to her advantage of being a woman in that space, because there are things that I was not afraid to write up and bring up to clients, customers.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, the very first year we did real estate inspections, but I was still married to my son's father when we did that, I had several inspections I had to do where they literally had to put the deal on hold. And I couldn't believe that the realtor would even want to try and pass these things through without the buyers knowing about them. There was major foundational issues in one of them. I'm like, seriously, did you not walk around this building and see that the cornerstone of this foundation was starting to crumble off the hillside? It's interesting.
Now, Jen, and this will be news to you, Michelle, I don't think you know this, but Jen used to be part of that home inspection business, too. She used to work for Wynn Home Inspection out in Seattle. Well, you were in Seattle, but they're not based there.
Funny.
So we all had that connection that we didn't know about.
That is too funny.
Small world.
Real estate owns the world.
Well, yeah, actually here in Houston, real estate's doing pretty well, so we're lucky. I had a burning question for you, Michelle, that I'm going to ask it before we go tonight. You were recognized as one of the top influencers at Blog World LA, and I love all the blog worlds. I'm not able to go. What is that like? I mean, how did you get that? What suggestions would you have for others to try to follow in those footsteps?
Well, you'll notice that I don't just tweet or discuss or even speak on the same old generic topics that I'll see a lot of people rehashing and covering on the surface. I always take everything from a business perspective because that's how I do things for my own business. And so whenever I'm listening to someone doing a keynote, I might be tweeting gold nuggets that they're saying, and then I add my 2 cents in. So if Brian Solis said something really brilliant, and I'll add a question in to direct people's thoughts towards the space that I want them to go, whoa, where have I done that? And, oh, my God, how is that not helping? Being that maverick communicator and being willing to say things that other people aren't willing to say, being that, you know, I have always been, since I was a little girl, the storyteller in the family. I loved sitting around and listening to all my great aunts and uncles, and I was interviewing before I realized I was interviewing. But I was also the kid who was willing to ask the questions that everyone else was afraid to ask. I wasn't afraid of the emperor not having any clothes on. And I'm wondering what happened to that inside entrepreneurs and business owners in the past 10, 15, 20 years. Where have they lost their panache for being able to say, that doesn't make any sense to me. Can you explain that in another way?
Well, that's true. And then I know Jenny Dietrich, who's a friend of Jen's and mine, you know, one of her biggest things about blogging and you should be comfortable doing is to just attract attention via controversy. You don't always have to agree. It doesn't always have to be pleasant. It doesn't always have to shine the good light. There are times that you need to step up and actually challenge somebody on whether it's authentic or ethically correct or just they're just wrong.
That's true. Jenny sometimes gets attacked on her blog in the comment section. Not attacked, but really, I mean, it gets really heated in the conversation sometimes. And she always sticks to her guns and, you know, sticks to their point. And sometimes it's very controversial, the topic, and so she's on the other side. But I think you're right. And so along with what Michelle said, a lot of people are afraid to ask questions. I don't know if it's just because it's social, because I know people aren't as much in person, it seems, but my boss saw a tweet yesterday, and it was talking about our application and saying something about, oh, no, it was a question about social media, and he said, well, with the Engage one-to-one application, you actually would never run into that problem, something about monitoring or something. And she tweeted back and said, but you only, it only pertains to business to consumer, B2C, not B2B, and actually it doesn't. Ours does both. And I said, well, you should have tweeted back. You should have said that. You need to write and say that. And he's like, no, I'm just going to let it go. I'm like, you let it go, and she thinks she's right, and the rest of the people watching the conversation think they're right. And the thing is, he's such a debater, and he is so for putting his word in when we're in person, no matter where we are, the CEO of our company or anybody. But when it's online, I have to beg him to do it, you know? So I'm just wondering, like Michelle was saying, you got to put yourself out there. I think it's really hard for some people.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a correct way of doing it, and I've seen Michelle, I've seen you do it. It's very politically correct or polite or whatever you might say, but it's very direct.
Yeah, you can still have manners and be to the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes those words, they just come flying. And that's one thing, too, with the written word. You can stop and hit delete before you actually hit publish. My verbal words sometimes go floating out onto my desk, and they roll off and down the hallway, and it's like, oops, I have to go catch them. They got ahead of me, and I can't do anything about it. So, well, Michelle, we know that you've got a blogging meeting to get back to, and so thankful that you were able to step outside. I hope you didn't get eaten by mosquitoes because they're in full force now here in Houston. Would you give everybody your contact information so that they know the best place to find you, whether it's Twitter or your Facebook or your blog? I know you've got so many different social platforms.
Probably the easiest thing to do is just to go to LinkedIn, because almost everybody's got LinkedIn. Not everybody's on Twitter. And it's really simple. You'll just type, you know, www.linkedin.com/in/ Michelle Price.
Michelle with one L.
Tweet me. Michelle with one L. As Mama says, there is no hell in her daughter's name.
I like your mama. And the other thing I love your avatar for Twitter, or actually, you're not using that anymore for Twitter, are you? I mean, maybe you are.
Yes, it is on
Twitter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I think that's great.
Now, I get asked about that all the time, and, you know, one of the things that you want to think about in your strategy is what are you trying to accomplish? And a lot of times when people are coming to Twitter, especially when they're first coming to Twitter, they're so overwhelmed, and I like using the avatar because the avatar that I'm using is a drawing, and some people call it a cartoon. It's not really a cartoon because it doesn't characterize me. It doesn't do that humorous thing. It's an actual drawing. It makes it less intimidating, mm-hmm. and you'll notice that the body language that's in that avatar also is very opening and inviting. I'm very intentional and conscious of communication. So whether it's your spoken word, your written word, they're all really important, and there's a lot of ways that you can do that, even with pictures.
Right. And so you say that that's a cartoon, but I really look at that as a character. A caricature, how do you say that? Because I think it does represent you. It represents, it looks very much like you. But, yeah, I love your open arms. It's like, come talk to me. I have lots to share. So it's great. I like it. It's very fitting for you. So tell the other bloggers hello for us. I'll be joining you one Thursday, I'm sure. I might even be able to
Sounds
get
wonderful.
Jen into Houston to join you as well.
I would love that.
You are always welcome. Anytime you come to Houston, let me know. You never know. We might be having a social media club meeting.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Cool. Okay. Well, Michelle, you can either hang on or you can disappear because we're going to go ahead and move it out to Geek It Out, and I will talk to you soon. And have fun on
Thank
Monday.
You. Oh, I will. Tune in. Okay. Breakthrough Business Strategies Radio.
I will. And Monday at what time is that? Before you go,
Monday,
Michelle.
Monday, 12 o'clock Eastern.
12 Eastern, so 11 Central. Okay. See you then, or hear you then.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Michelle.
Okay, so we're going to geek it out, and it's going to take two of us. It's going to take Jen and myself to replace AK, who replaced BJ, to geek it out. So, Jen, you said you had one, so my fingertips are here on my keyboard, and I'm ready to go to your geek it out site.
Sweet, I got two. So
okay,
the first one.
This one.
Mm-hmm. The first one is casegram.com. It's C-A-S-E. TAGRAM.com. And this website allows you to use your Instagram photos, which we know so many people use, and make them into your iPhone case. And it's not just the skin that you put on top of another case, but the reason I like it is that it's an actual case built out of a montage of your own photos. And you can pick a certain style, how to place your photos. There's many different options for layouts, but I think it's cool that it's the actual case. A lot of times it's just skins. And the best part is that since the iPhone does wrap around to the sides, you can choose if you want that to be clear, white, or black. So,
okay. Now give me that link again because my Google Chrome is saying it doesn't exist. So.
Okay. Case, casetagram.com. And I just typed it in and it worked for me.
Okay, got it.
Cool. You got it?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Case Ta Brand. So I think it's a little pricey. I think it's like $30. But if you're looking for a present for somebody, that might be great if you know, for a loved one, especially your parents, you want to put pictures of your grandkids on there. I mean, just use all of them, put a photo montage on there, or even if it's, you know, your husband, anything like that. I think that's a really great way to customize gifts, and $30 for a gift isn't so bad.
Yeah,
I thought that was great.
I'll have to ask you this. Did you pin that to Pinterest?
I did, I believe.
Oh,
I believe
cool.
I did. And that goes to my next one, which is pinaquote.com. And the reason I love Pin a Quote is because we all love Pinterest, but And I've been using it for a long time as myself, but I've been hesitant to get engaged one-to-one on there because I was just like, I don't want to pin a whole blog because it's a lot of copy. And yes, you can pin videos, but I don't do them as often as I should. So I was like, how can I get our info on there? And so if you use Pin a Quote, you can actually pin a quote. You can highlight any part of text in a blog or article or anywhere on the web, and it turns it into a graphic for you. As in, like, a quote format, and it turns into a picture for you. And you just hit pin it, and it pins it right on Pinterest, and it tags the location of that copy. You can actually pin blog posts, but put them in a much more visual way, because it's the short quote with a highlight from the post with, you know, really make sure you use, like, a really hit-at-home point. Like, today I reblogged ours. We had a blog post come out today that said, who owned your Facebook fans? And it
mm-hmm.
talks about, you know, Facebook, and then, you know, how Facebook says in order to reach your fans, you have to use an ad, and comes down to Facebook actually, we need to pay to use our fans. And so the big one was some statistics we gave on a sponsored post ad we ran. And so I put that in there because statistics will blow you away on the difference of organic to paid search and promotions in Facebook. And I use that, and I pinned it. And so if I'm on Pinterest and I see this short sentence, one sentence, you know, as a graphic that has statistics like that, and it's in a social media pin board, I'm gonna be apt to repin that, or at least like it.
Very
so
good.
I really like that pin and quote.
And I see here in the chat that you have a thank you from Laurie W., who says that she tried it with the blog, and there have been lots of repinning. So she sends her thank you to you. And I see here that we have a tweet from Prosperity Gal, Michelle, who's enjoying a cake pop that is a cheesecake. And we are missing out because we're not with her in the Houston blogger. So that was just mean.
That is mean. Especially
because I'm lactose intolerant. that's true. But that's probably one that you can have. And I have many a cake pops posted on Pinterest for myself. So here's one for you that I found today. And it's pretty cool. It's for an iPad. So if you type in wedge-e.net, so it's wedge-e.net. I'll put it in the chat for our guests. What it is a pillow.
Ooh,
for
I saw it the other day.
Isn't that cool?
That's great. Yeah. Oh, look, and it shows you the guy on the couch sitting there. And you know, Deb, this is perfect for me because I don't have a TV, and so I watch all my TV on my iPad using the ABC app or the Hulu app, or I can even use Netflix if I want. But I have to, like, prop it up on pillows and always fall over. This is genius.
Isn't that cool? And then
it's only $30.
It's not bad. I'm sure they'll come down. It's not bad in price. But if you scroll down, then you can see the gal that's sitting there in bed, and then you got the little girl that's sitting there with her iPad pillow. So, you know, it's like a iPad pillow. I just think that's so cool.
That one wins the Geek It Out Tonight. Definitely.
Okay, but I've got one. I've got another one. This one is, if you go Voomote.com, so it's VOOMOTE.com.
Okay.
What? Oh, did I talk? Yeah, Voomote.tv, I think.
Got it.
Okay, I hope I put it in there right. Anyway, this is an app that turns your smartphone into a remote.
Genius.
Isn't that pretty cool? I mean, we all have
I think I might have seen this on a blog, and the reason they put it out there is when you're traveling and you're in a hotel, you can have your remote do it, which is great because who can understand the remote for hotel TV?
Oh, that's funny. You know what? I never thought about that. And I'll tell you, I cheated. I got this, the Data Doctors posted that today. And the Data Doctors, if you're not following them, Ken Colburn, Brandon Disney, and Spanky is what they call them. They have been producing some of the funniest, just hilarious social media videos that you have to look at their YouTube channel. They just crack me up. And they do a lot of social tech tips, and they had posted that one today, so I thought it was just pretty cool. My next one, I believe, Jen, I got off of your Pinterest, which is the social blogging tracker. And it's so it's WCHINGYA.com. I'll put it in the chat. But what I liked about this site was we're all trying to figure out Facebook timeline covers, and we're trying to figure out what's the best way to do page postings and optimize the Facebook page and the Twitter tools. You found a great blog here.
Deb, I can't take credit for that. That wasn't me.
Well, that's right. You repinned it, but I found it on your site. So
I did repin it. Oh, this is my first time seeing.
You repinned it, and that's where I found it today on yours. one of your boards, which I think is social techs or technology.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Social,
that's fabulous.
Social media. So, see, I give you credit. And, you know, we'll see who, I don't know who it belongs to. Doesn't matter to me. I found it on yours. So
if we're going to talk about blogs that highlight the timeline changes real quick.
Sure.
Mary Smith, it's M-A-R-I Smith. If you just Google her, she'll pop up. She's all over the place. But she did this blog post, and she took the picture of timeline, and then everywhere off something that's new, she put the dimensions of the new sizing as well as a description on what it means if you like highlighted a post, like it, you're looking at the new timeline on Facebook, and then you have a description for each functionality that's on the new timeline. It is genius for anybody that's trying to figure it out and is a visual learner. You just look at this image and you get it all down.
I saw that, and I think, didn't I see that on your, on the Engage one-to-one Facebook page?
I did put it there. I also put it on Google Plus and Pinterest.
Okay. Yeah, and Mari does some great stuff with Facebook,
yeah,
and I love her stuff. So, yeah, we'll have to go back and look at that. That's pretty cool. Thank you. Good point there. I'm still looking at tweets from Prosperity Gal. I have to stop looking at it. So the next one, this is one that AK had shared. I believe she shared it some time ago, and I pulled this off of her Pinterest. But it's comic... Comicomatic.com. So it's comicomatic.com.
She did do this because I got this from you guys months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was genius. She did do this on, she geeked this
yeah,
out a few months
she did.
Ago.
Yeah, and I remember it too, and I still haven't done anything with it. So, and I didn't have enough time tonight, but I was thinking, wouldn't it be funny? So here, Jen, I'll give you a homework assignment. Thank you very much for being my co-host, and now I'm going to give you a homework assignment. We should do a comic strip that has something about you and AK and myself.
We should. I've done one of these for when I was in Seattle, because you guys did that quite a while ago.
Yeah.
And I did one with a friend in Seattle, and it comes out, it's hilarious. Like, it's really cool.
Or maybe we can do one to promote Frame Camp, you know, to do a...
Ooh, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, maybe something like, you know, for those who don't come to Frame Camp. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can...
We'll make sure we have BJ as the little one with his tongue sticking out as if he just ate Tasty to, like,
and if Dana Lopez doesn't come to Frame Camp, which you've not met him in person yet, as far as I know,
I
correct?
Nope, not yet.
You haven't met him yet, so we...
We tweet a lot, so...
I know, and I think he's hanging out with us tonight. He ended up coming on at the last minute so he can watch or hear the Geek It Out portion. All right, so I have another one. This one is, it's web conferencing made easy, and it shows any screen content from a computer in real time to multiple people. And I'll spell it for you. It's MIKOGO.com. And this is another one that I'm sure AK used, and I haven't tested it yet, and I really need to. I think we need to test this out here soon. And the Blog Talk radio operator is yelling in my ear telling me that we only have like 60 seconds left. So, yeah, she just yelled. And sometimes the timer isn't right. So before we go, Jen, I want to thank you very much for coming on. Why don't you give us, and you've got a oodle, social platforms. Give us some of your social platforms so people can follow you.
Yeah, first one would be Twitter, at Jenny, J-E-N-N-I, M-A-C-D-O-N-A-L-Z. And I am all over the place, I promise. So the easiest way to find me is to go to about.me/Jennifer, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R-L, McDonald, M-A-C-D-O-N-A-L-Z. And just hit enter, and you will see my social profile with all my links, all my... links to all my business stuff for Engage One-to-One, everything. It'll be all right there. But Twitter's the big one that I'm on. I'm also on Google Plus a lot. I know a lot of people aren't. And I'm really starting to get addicted to Pinterest. Really trying to get it, to tie it, to use it for business and try to figure that out. So
Good.
I would love to talk to everybody.
Good. Well, I will see you soon, and we'll do a Google Hangout here even sooner. So have a great night, everybody. Thanks to everyone who was our guest in the chat room. We had a slew of people, and thanks to Michelle and AK. We'll be back next week. So good night.
Thanks, Jen. Bye.
Bye-bye.